across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
On this Tuesday, January 30th, 2024, nice to have you along. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is off today, so let me tell you first who's coming up this hour. Chippewa County Farm Management Educator Jerry Clark is officially an award-winning friend to farmers. He's recipient of the University of Wisconsin's Distinguished Teaching Award. He's going to join us in a bit to talk about the vital work of helping farmers with crop rotation, markets, new technologies, all the things that make Wisconsin agriculture a big player in global trade and in family farm success. So again, listen for that. Let's see. In Brittany's absence, let me tell you that at 7 a.m., temperatures around the state go like this. It's 37 here on Lake Wasota. Hayward's at 33. Park Falls is 32. Wausau, 35 degrees right now. Green Bay, 35. La Crosse, 38. Wisconsin Rapids, 36. Oshkosh reporting 36, Madison 37, and in Waukesha, it's 34 degrees. We will have continued mild, unseasonably warm weather, a good chance of record high temperatures tomorrow in parts of the state. A little light rain and snow this morning in the western part of the state, patchy drizzle in the southeastern part of the state, a light wintry mix up in the north central region. All will give way to mostly cloudy skies today, highs in the mid to upper 30s. Potentially reaching 40. Some places will see 50 tomorrow. Needless to say, what's left of the snow is fading fast, and so do stay off the ice. Greg, you never know who's listening to the radio. She will not spin her head. That's her actual head. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us now from Green Bay in her brand new University of Minnesota letter jacket and matching hat.
Look at that.
And, clearly somebody heard we were talking about spinning Goldie's head and Christina Laurie talking about the ranking of mascots and Goldie Gopher ranked number one. But Kristen, I didn't know there was controversy about you being Goldie Gopher. Good morning.
First of all, thank you for summoning me this morning. I felt this pull to be with you.
Women's rights.
There was controversy. Well, there was a lot going on during that period. And, you know, there's always more to the story. But the really sweet backstory, oh, my gosh, yes. The pictures.
And yes. for folks watching on Facebook right now, we have found a photo.
You are so adorable. Student. You are so adorable.
That is some serious 80s, 90s hair going on there.
I would really like to, like, go to the other picture with that full-on Rachel she's got.
Oh, I didn't get the Rachel copied in time, so we'll get that another time. But there you are holding Goldie's head. And
look at that.
So when you sent me the article, I thought it was just a little background on the Gopher mascot. And then I come to find out that, no, you're a big part of the middle of the article about who either first did the Goldie head spin or who first made it popular. And you're getting a little credit, which I think I understand, given that you're a bit of a spirited person.
Well, my favorite part about the story is that it ends up being a story about people working together and creating something really beautiful together. So somebody else had claimed responsibility for the spin your head move, but all of my friends in marching band knew that it wasn't that person. It was actually us working together. So there was an article in the New York Times where this other person had claimed responsibility, and we reached out to the person who wrote it, and we put together a big group of marching band people who shared their experiences, and we all had evidence. I mean, this is still a group. This was, what, 10 years ago? But this is a group that still survives online. We still get together at the football games. We talk about the old times, and we talk about how we saved the tradition of Goldie spinning his head and how that all came together. It's just such a cool story.
Person who falsely claimed it had to step down as the president of Yale.
Well, it did. He took a big hit to his reputation because of it. He didn't have a great reputation to begin with because he kind of had a series of those kinds of behaviors, taking credit for things that he didn't, shouldn't have.
During the discussion, Pat was talking about the story and mentioned, what was it? It was Mascot Summer Camp. And he said it like,
oh, yes, Mascot Summer Camp.
And he said it like, he said it as if he was to say, oh, I went to the beach this weekend, or just something normal, something simple. And I'm sitting here going, I'm sorry, Mascot Summer. Yes, there it is. Hi, I'm Dr. God. Kristen Lyerly, and I'm here to take care of you today.
Mascot Summer Camp is a blast because mascots are really fun people. That's all you need to know.
I was going
to
say that look right there.
I'm sure that's all we're going to hear. That's all we're going to hear.
That's all we can hear on the radio.
I can't tell you anything more. Yeah. What happens at Mascot Summer Camp stays at Mascot Summer Camp.
And the heads always stay on.
this is getting into unusual territory right now. But you were so proud to get your letter jacket last week, only however many years overdue. And you said you were hardly ever going to take it off. You still have it on, so I have no reason to doubt you.
Well, when you texted me and said you better have your letter jacket on, luckily it was very close by.
Of course it was.
Everybody who comes in my house, I'm like, hey, did I show you my letter jacket? I'm like, I honestly I'm like a 16-year-old kid. It's very exciting.
Why are you getting it now versus, like, what's the, why is it now?
So
yes, there's a story here.
There's always a story. So when I first was Goldie, I was with the marching band. The marching band actually had originated Goldie and developed Goldie.
Yeah.
But then the athletic department recognized the potential that a mascot has to, you know, sell the university essentially. Yeah. So they took it over. Well, I was in that role. I was the only mascot at the time.
Yeah.
And so I felt like I had lost Goldie for the band. I mean, it was really traumatic for me, but I stayed on as the athletic department Goldie for the next two seasons, but it wasn't fully established yet in the athletic department.
Yeah.
So all the Goldies after me got letters, but I didn't get a letter because it was so early on.
Yeah.
So I wrote to the athletic department an email and explained the situation and sent them that article from MinnPost. And they were then really excited because that was like the origin of the athletic department Goldie. So they were excited to give me the jacket. And after everything that I had been through throughout that transition, you know, time heals a lot of wounds. So after everything I had been through, that makes it that much more special to me. It has been such a big part of, like, I really have cared. It's crazy. It's just a mascot, but it has been really important to me.
I was going to say, I just want to remind the people listening when she says, quote, the things I went through, we're talking about moving from the marching department to the athletic department of Minnesota State College, University. I don't know. I went to UW.
University. Yeah, but I felt like I lost. Like, clearly the athletic department was going to take the mascot. Yeah. I mean, that was, they were so powerful. But, like, for me, I was like, what did I do wrong? How can I hold on to it? This is tradition. You know, like, I was 18. I didn't know any better.
You were a fighter. So, you're a fighter now.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's all part of the origin story. Yeah. Who knows?
I'm wondering, has anybody else gotten more mileage out of being a mascot than Kristen Lyerly in the years since? Everybody else, it says in the article, many people, they just, you know, they keep it secret and they don't want to talk about too much. Here's Kristen out here on statewide radio going, oh, no, there was a big controversy about this.
Just in the middle of an exam going, do you know I was the first Goldie?
I was not the first Goldie.
I was the best Goldie.
I was not the best Goldie. There are some great Goldies out there, but it fits into the whole community building piece. You know, it fits into the whole working together, like the spin your head thing.
Yeah,
I spun my head, but other people had spun their head before. But we made it a thing by working with the marching band. When the marching band started demanding it and I responded, that's when the fans started to get on board. And that's when it really became the tradition.
And look, you can't possibly know what will or won't become a tradition in the moment. I mean, you look at some of the things, look at Jump Around. Who would have thought the first time that they played that song that it would become this globally recognized phenomenon, you know?
Oh, I love it too. Don't you just, like, when you're watching at home, don't you jump around also?
Of course.
I do.
Absolutely. Yes. And we, you know, teaching the grandkids to do it has been the best, you know? Uh-huh. because my younger daughter is a Gopher and met her husband. They're both Wisconsin kids, but they went to the U of M. And so now, of course, they're teaching their two little Rugrats, you know, the jump around, you know, the Minnesota traditions, I should say. And but the jump around is just so fun.
Okay,
you know?
so jump around is a Minnesota, because I was thinking the song. I'm
no,
like,
no,
jump around is Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. I was
going to say that is not appropriate for children to be listening to. That's a very, it's got some very questionable lyrics.
Who's listening to the lyrics?
Wait a minute. Do you know what we're talking about?
No, I don't. I'm thinking Jump Around by House of Pain, the song.
Greg is the only person in Wisconsin who has no idea what Jump Around at the Games
is. I went to college late. I didn't enjoy the experiences like you all did, okay?
I went to Eau Claire. We didn't have any of this. We were just
gold, blue, gold.
A simple what, asking ourselves, what is
don't
a blue
be
gold?
Dis- you know? Don't ugh in disappointment.
Now, I am. That's the collective that all of our fans across the state right now are like, oh, Greg, we've got to get you to a football game.
I'll go with the I'll make this statement right here on radio. Dr. Lyerly, you want to take me to a football game? I will go to a football game with you.
Let's go.
I'll even wear those ridiculous overalls.
Even better. Okay, we have a date, Pat.
Don't the Badgers open up the season against the Gophers this fall? Is that today?
The schedule is all weird this year with all of the West Coast teams in it. I don't know.
I'm sorry. It's Western Michigan, which is where my son-in-law plays. I'm conflating that. Let me scroll down here. We're going to find ourselves Minnesota. Comes
usually
to Camp Randall on Saturday, November 30th.
Yeah, it's so, usually at the very end.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. We'll start planning it. It's the last
game of the regular season there. So
let's get Civic Media to sponsor it. Up North News, come on. This could be fun.
Let's get you to that first one against Western Michigan on Saturday, August 31st.
I'm down. I'll go. I'll jump around.
I'm going anyway because I've got family, you know, over on the sidelines.
And I will jump around.
Okay.
And we need a tailgate. And then we need to tell our friends across the state where it is so they can stop in and say, hey, pick up some swag.
You know how I just said a few minutes ago, you never know how a tradition is going to get started.
Uh-huh.
I believe we are starting one right
Whoa.
Here. I think something big and fun is about to
And then we
to
can go
happening.
To Comedy Club on State afterwards for a show.
Brilliant.
Oh, I like that. Yes. Right, just a floor or two below the palatial studios of the Civic Media Radio Empire.
Which has a
after
free app
quarter.
Available for download.
After fifth quarter.
Okay, all right. All right. Do you want to hang around for a bit, or have you said your piece and you're ready to move on?
I'll hang around for a little bit. I'm doing full mom today, so I'm just hanging out, you know, cleaning the house, dropping my kid off at school.
All right. Sounds good. Well, because I still want to ask you who's on Women Who Win Wisconsin this week and more. So why don't you stick around for a little bit, and we'll talk more with our favorite Goldie, Kristen Lyerly, coming up more after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm having a tough time with Jody Watley turning 65. Again, I feel like my youth is just slipping away over here.
She's
then again,
so 80s.
Then again, we've already talked about somebody going in for his colonoscopy today. So I think that ship has already sailed in terms of keeping my youth around, right?
You look pretty well hydrated, though.
No, I'm sounding fairly dehydrated here. I am this close to just turning the show over, but not before I say that we've got some great guests coming up the next three mornings here during this time period. The three Democratic candidates running in the primary for the 3rd Congressional District, one of these three may be the one to take on Republican Derek Van Orden coming up this November. Tomorrow at 7:05, we'll have State Representative Katrina Shanklin. Thursday at 7:05, Eau Claire businesswoman Rebecca Cook, Eric Wilson Friday at 7:05 as well. And so we invite you to tune in or catch us later on social media and look back at the show and, you know, learn about these candidates, one of whom may be the next representative in Congress from Western Wisconsin. Two of them we have featured previously, Kristen, in our, you know, Women Win Wisconsin type of coverage. Another one of them being Tammy Baldwin. And from the Hill newspaper this morning, Senate Republicans are expecting their final piece of the 2024 puzzle to fall into place. They say that Eric Hovde, a Madison-based businessman, is expected to enter the race sometime between the Super Bowl and the end of February, as he's been hiring staff and gearing up for a run. So Tammy Baldwin's going to have a busy time, and you continue helping highlight some of the women who are running around Wisconsin.
We actually have a big event coming up tonight in Green Bay. Alicia Saunders, Kelly Peterson, and I are going to be the panelists at a Women Win Wisconsin event at the Tarleton Theater tonight at 7. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski will be there. Our Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be there. We've got over 100 attendees signed up with lots of questions and lots of enthusiasm about how can we elevate women in Wisconsin, especially in northeastern Wisconsin. There are very few women in leadership here, but we know that there is the will. So we're going to start to create that energy and to see where we go from there. I couldn't be more excited.
Yeah. So we're not expecting any like big announcement. This is more of just a community discussion, shall we say?
You know, all three of us have been mentioned as folks who could potentially run against Mike Gallagher, and we will definitely be talking about Mike Gallagher's record, how he appears to be a moderate, but votes with the extremists, has voted 3 times to shut the government down, voted to keep George Santos in Congress, has voted to prevent people from getting access to contraception and everything that follows after that. I mean, he is just not the person that he appears to be. So we're going to continue to expose that so people really understand what they're voting for in November.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because part of what prompted my outreach to the candidates running in the 3rd Congressional District has been the social media posts from incumbent Republican Derek Van Orden, who, again, upon becoming this congressman earlier, well, just about a year ago now, was going to be like, you know, the kindly grandfather, you know, kind of the moderate. And a lot of us knew better. We'd watched his behavior in the past. He wouldn't debate his opponents in the past. And over the past, you know, 1 to 2 weeks, his social media feeds have just become a cesspool of, you know, of expletives and, you know, saying things that aren't true and sounding rather, you know, just extreme and like he's just going to play to that Trump-loving base. And it seems like people should, you know, be hearing more about the whole range of viewpoints and people that are out there. So, you know, in both corners of the state, I think that the incumbent Republicans are going to finally get some of that extra scrutiny that they should be getting during an election year.
I think they're scrambling because they're so far off what the people want. People of Wisconsin want common sense. You say it in your Up North News bit, Wisconsin sense. That's who we are. We're independent thinkers, and we don't agree with this extremism. And they have gone so far to the right. We want to bring it back to the people, you know, get some policies rolling that will actually help the people of this state and of this country.
Well, and the whole notion of what's been happening with policy lately on immigration and the border, that you now have, you know, Derek Van Orden agreeing with Trump and saying he wants no part of any bipartisan deal to better secure the border between now and the election. I mean, so were you lying all this time, or, you know, did you suddenly have a change of heart to do whatever Donald Trump tells you to do? And I think it's high time we get, you know, Gallagher and the others on the record about this.
I think it's interesting that they're showing their cards so much. Like, between now and the election, we're not going to participate in a bipartisan agreement because we don't want the other side to have any wins. But after the election, we're willing to work on the problems. Like, that's not what we elected you for. We elected you to fix the problems now. You don't just get to complain about it now so that you get reelected and then can do nothing, actually. That's what happened with healthcare. I mean, remember that?
Yes,
we're going to take down the ACA. We'll have something bigger and better. But there never was anything bigger and better. It was just about dismantling the ACA.
Right. And the immigration thing goes back to 2013, when there was a plan that got 68 votes in the Senate. I'm going to say it again. An immigration plan got 68 votes in the Senate, but hard right Republicans in the House under John Boehner wouldn't even bring it up for a vote because they didn't want the issue to go away. And now it's moved beyond immigration. From the Washington Post this morning, there is now, you know, bipartisan agreement on a potential tax bill, but it's being opposed by Republicans who don't like that the expanded child tax credit would be coming back. They want only the extension of the business tax cuts that were in the 2017 Trump tax bill. But, you know, again, because this might actually be a compromise, they don't want it. They don't want to see tax relief passed. And it's just so intellectually revealing, shall we say, as to what they're really thinking their job is about.
Well, let's just boil it down to a sentence. We care about businesses, not families. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what
now,
you see there?
And now I will be, to be fair, there are some liberal Democrats who also don't like the bill because they say it doesn't expand the child tax credit enough. But again, that's the whole thing behind bipartisan legislation is mm-hmm. not everybody's going to get everything they want, but you're going to do something. You're going to get something passed. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you can fight another day and get more of what you want. But the one thing you would never want as a public official is to get nothing done. And yet we have an increasingly rising amount of people who want to brag about getting nothing done. And we just have to help voters stop rewarding that.
That's our Congress right now. It's the do-nothing Congress. They are the least effective Congress in decades. And to be proud of that is shocking. When there's so much need, there are so many problems in the world that need to be solved. That's why I think November is going to be a total game changer for us. Because many of us, just the regular people, recognize that we need something different. We need something more. And we are the people who have to make it happen because clearly they are not concerned about it.
All right, so we're going to see you next on Thursday for a Women Win Wisconsin segment. And what are we doing?
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, okay. Guess what? I think it's going to feature some women. Thank you. Who want to win in Wisconsin? When you talk to the lieutenant governor, tell her we'd like to have her on to talk about the governor yesterday officially setting up that new healthcare workforce task force.
Oh, yeah.
Something along those lines. We'd love to.
Oh, and you know, the lieutenant governor is a nurse by trade. This is her bailiwick.
Why she's going to head that up. Thank you, Kristen. Congrats again. Thanks for popping in.
Have a great day, guys.
Have a fun day, bye. Goldie. Coming up next, Jerry Clark will talk about the value of lifelong farm education. You're up north. Just a reminder, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com, click newsletter in the banner on top of our homepage, and stay up to date on some unabashedly Wisconsin news. For many years, I co-anchored the 6 and 10 o'clock news at Channel 13 in Eau Claire. And my co-anchor, Judy Clark, and I, we went to college together at UW-Eau Claire. Then our paths diverged for a time and then got back together when we were working at 13. She continues on at 13 now in her, 32nd year, I think, or 33rd year there. But this farm kid will never not be proud of her brother Jerry, UW-Madison Extension Agriculture Educator and Associate Professor, who has been named one of the 2024 Distinguished Teaching Award recipients across the UW-Madison campus for his work in educational programming and research on agronomy and farm management. And it's that kind of lifelong teaching that is part of the Wisconsin idea and part of why we're really happy to have Jerry here to congratulate him and learn more about his role. Jerry Clark, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, good morning, Pat. Thank you for the invite.
So let's find out more before I tease you more about, you know, family matters. Let's talk about, you know, how a humble farm kid from Chippewa County got to winning a Distinguished Teaching Award. How has been your path from Tilden to now?
Yeah, it's been pretty humbling this last week here with the award being announced. I think that's been there's a lot of great extension educators across Wisconsin, and just to be nominated was a great, just a great feeling. And then to be selected is even, you know, more of a shock, obviously. But yeah, starting, being a farm kid on a small dairy farm, and again, that north of Chippewa Falls and that Tilden Eagle Point area, always were farming. I mean, we were always around mom and dad and brothers and Judy, and you just did what you had to do to get the job done was kind of the, the way we operated. Dad always said, don't work. We don't work hard. We just work steady. You know, that was the kind of thing. So we always had that, that work ethic behind us. And when I was at UW River Falls as an undergrad in ag education, then my advisor at the time, Dr. Dick Jensen, when we did student teaching out in the field, he observed me and things like that. And he knew my background and the way I presented myself. And he said, you'd be a great extension agent. And I didn't give it a thought. My job, I thought I'll get my degree, go back to the farm and help out. So we did try that for a few years. Of course, small farms with several families to support, it wasn't going to work from an economic standpoint. So the position with Chippewa County was open about that time. We were wondering if we're going to stay in farming or what we should do. And so then we took a stab at this job. And, you know, it was Dr. Jensen was right. Yeah, I love it. It was a good fit. Luckily, Chippewa County, you know, County Board hired me, and it's been kind of a roller coaster. There's been times where budget, you know, obviously between the federal, state, and local level, kind of is a concern. But you kind of go, you float along and roll with what comes your way. And I think that's the way I've approached my job has been what needs to be done. What's the issues out there? What are farmers dealing with? Is there a gap in some local research that we can do, or is there just some educational programming, whether it's drought or safety or something that comes along within the agricultural industry? Is it high prices, low prices, those kind of things on the farm management side? So we've always tried to, you know, what's the issue that needs to be addressed and what's emerging out there? Can we be ahead of the curve on a few things and try to bring that that information to the people of Chippewa County?
It's interesting when you talk about the kind of the self-reliance aspect of it, you know, the work ethic, as somebody who also married into a dairy farm family, that same ethic of, well, I've got a problem here and chances are I'm going to have to figure it out myself. You know, why did the tractor stop working or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But obviously there's always circumstances where you do need to be welcoming to help and assistance from the outside. Has that been a challenge in your role of working with, you know, producers and getting pushback of like, oh, don't worry, I'll figure this out myself. I don't need, you know, you. I don't need the government. I don't need help. Or do you find that it's much more collaborative out there and much more welcoming of learning new things?
Yeah, I think it's that, Pat, is that collaborative. You know, one nice thing about extension is we are education and information. You know, that on-farm research or local research or taking what the UW-Madison researchers are finding and then applying that out in the field. So our applied research, I think, goes a long way from that standpoint. But I think we learn from each other. A lot of issues that we deal with, whether it's, especially for one right now, is the, you know, groundwater quality. We've got nitrates in the groundwater. How can we, we're dealing more with manure management, nitrogen management, fertilizers on the fields and these kind of things. And how can we make sure that, you know, farmers are being profitable, but also protecting that environment at the same time. So I think when you get into topics like that, there always becomes that you're not an expert in that. So one nice thing with UW or with the Extension Service being connected with UW-Madison and also River Falls and Platteville also have specialists. We lean on them pretty heavily. So you've got these world-class researchers on campuses here in Wisconsin as a great resource that are part of Extension. And so we're able to bring that to the people out here in the counties, and now being, you know, covering Eau Claire and Dunn County, as well as Chippewa, that's you know, just broadens that that reach that we can have, or maybe the issues that we need to deal with from an educational standpoint. So we've always been kind of a needs-based, reactive organization. What's happening out on the borders of the state? That's the Wisconsin idea: take the university to the people. And that's what we've tried to do. And personally, for me, that's where I've tried to hang my hat: is what do farmers need in today or tomorrow if some issue changes? One thing, you know, we've seen the industry and developments within how agriculture, you know, was small farm dairy, and now we're becoming, you know, much more global. We have many farms that are selling products, or if it's genetics or whatever it is, across the world. And so how do we help, you know, a local business or a farmer, you know, make sure that they're vibrant and being able to have the answers that they need, whether it's from me or if they contact me And I said, that's not my world of expertise at all. So let's pull in a researcher or an expert from the campuses.
Well, just looking at this summary of what you work on, it's summary isn't the right word because it goes on for a while. Alternative crops, forages, nutrient management, responding to new agricultural markets, including craft brewing operations revolving around malting barley and growing hops, industrial hemp production, infusing technology such as the use of smartphones to identify and manage weeds, diseases, insects, and nutrient deficiencies that can affect corn, soybeans, and alfalfa. But then the cherry on top is you're also a podcaster. You are host of the UW Extension's Cutting Edge podcast dedicated to providing resources for new crops. You're a podcaster. How did that get started?
Well, that goes back to growing up with Judy, obviously, right?
We're of always, course.
She had
There's
that
always
little,
a connection to Judy.
There's always a connection with Judy. But that was just something that came out of being working from home with the whole COVID-19 situation. So when we were kind of limited in, obviously, kind of prohibited from pulling large groups together for meetings and getting our information out. So a few of us said, let's look at doing a podcast related to some of these emerging crops that are being developed. And since we can't gather together, let's try this podcast thing. So this was a team effort with a number of county educators and a specialist or two from around the state. And we were able to, very easily pull. And one thing with podcasting, especially, you can pull specialists from around the country. So we were just basically looking at different crops that are emerging or that could grow here in Wisconsin. And we had already done quite a bit, like you said, with the malting barley and hops, kind of that raw ingredient for the brewing industry, local craft brewing industry. And then as industrial hemp became legalized, is there an interest in that? And then also some of the other, one that popped up was saffron. And I was reading an article from the University of Vermont about growing saffron and talking to their specialist at the University of Vermont, said, would you mind doing a podcast? And they're like, yeah, we'd great for that. And here there was a grower in the Green Bay area that's doing it. And so these are the kind of things that we can make that connection across the country. And podcasting was a nice way to do that. So many of us, we do a lot of presentations and of course, teaching is what we do and outreach. And podcasting just opened up another avenue for us. There was other educators, extension educators and specialists doing that in another vein or so earlier, but having to work from home and kind of reinvent ourselves is how we're going to deliver this educational information was the one way that we thought, we could get our message out and it's there, can be recorded and people can access it whenever. And I think we've had we're maybe approaching 5,000 downloads and things like that with our series that's out there.
Okay. How is the role changing for the extension as we do make that generational shift from family farming to large family farm operations to, essentially corporate, industrial type farms? And if it's run by a corporation, which may have their own research arm and things like that, will there be less of a role for UW Extension? And I guess to make it an even sharper question, should there be a reduced role? If these are corporate-owned farms, should they just take care of their own research rather than, taxpayer-funded resources?
Yeah, that's a great question, Pat. And so trying to stay relevant, I think, on everybody's mind, regardless if you're a public entity or private, but Extension is unique in that we were always an informational educational arm. So the information part, the internet's out there and larger farms have more consultants and things like that. But we find maybe if the larger farm isn't using Extension, their consultants probably are in some arm, whether it's through a specialist or a local county office. But I think where we're still a very viable organization out there are these things that are related to safety, are related to policy types of things, whether that's getting information out about the new farm bill that might be coming up. Who's doing that? These kind of things that there's still that need out there that a private company or a larger farm may say, well, we already got our consultants to do that. But there's certain things that, especially on the farm management and production side of things, like this nitrogen issue that we're dealing with. Farms could, and we encourage farms to do their own research on that. You know, put your own side-by-side trials out and try to figure out exactly where that fertilizer application needs to be. And as we get new genetics within corn production or cattle or things like that, is there a change in the way we grow our feed and feed our feed to these animals? So there's always that unbiased part to the UW that here's the data we found, and here's, you know, where we think that recommendation needs to be. So I think in terms of those types of things where a private company or a larger farm that may have its large resources, there's always that unbiased connection, unbiased part that we can bring to the table that says, here's what we found doing this research this way. And that's where we develop the educational programs coming out of that research.
Well, on top of that, it establishes what I would consider to be a baseline for Wisconsin's natural resources, that what may be best for a corporate bottom line is not necessarily the practice that is best for Wisconsin's environment. So I hope that there continues to be an ongoing extension role for that reason, among many others. Jerry's one of 13 faculty members who is being honored with this year's Distinguished Teaching Awards, an award given out since 1953 to recognize some of the university's finest educators. The ceremony will take place on April 16th in the Great Hall of the Memorial Union to honor Jerry and all the recipients. And near as I can tell, Jerry, there is still a little white space left on that wall behind you for one more award. So I think appears to be a well-earned among many that you've received over the years, Jerry. Thank you so much for being a part of this and for letting us know about all the valuable services you provide. Congratulations again.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pat, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
All right. And tell Judy I said hi.
Will do. We'll do that.
It's a running joke. It was a running joke all through my years in the legislature. Everybody was like, tell Judy I said hi. Sure. Tell Judy. Long before Charlie Behrens was doing it, we were doing it. Tell Judy I said hi.
She's well known.
She's the best. Thanks, Jerry.
All right. We will be
back with Chad Holmes in just a moment. You're up north. And your doubts will starve to death. The little boy followed the honeybee. Chad Holmes coming up in just a second, including the full show at 8 o'clock on Bull Falls Radio in the Wausau area. But first, a reminder that for the next 3 days during the 7 o'clock hour, you can hear from different candidates running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. We'll start with State Representative Katrina Shanklin tomorrow at 7:05, Rebecca Cook Thursday at 7:05, Eric Wilson Friday at 7:05, and each of them hopes to be the eventual Democratic nominee to run against Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden here in the 3rd District. So stay tuned for those interviews again starting tomorrow morning here on Up North News Radio. Chad Holmes joins us now from Bull Falls Radio, where he covers many high school sports. And so we'll come off of the discussion with Dr. Lyerly about mascots in just a moment. But Chad, how's your voice, first of all? And I understand you got a message for Greg as well.
What? Voice is getting better.
Good.
Slowly but surely getting better. I was listening earlier at the top of the hour when you guys were talking about Greg not being aware of jump around. I think that is fantastic, to be honest with you. And you know why?
Why do you say that? Why?
Because the idea, and I mean, just Sunday, I just saw a story that said there was like 60 million people that watched the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and I understand that it's great to have something that everybody can sort of coalesce around, and sports tends to be that. But sometimes it's good where I feel like sometimes we get way too involved in it. And sometimes it's like, it's great that somebody has enough interest outside of jump around to be unaware of it here in the state of Wisconsin. So I
Greg
say,
Bach,
kudos
he has
Greg
a
Bach.
Life. Congratulations on having a life, Greg Bach.
Oh yeah, my life is just swimming with things. just well, I don't have time to jump around with you peasants.
Yes. No, good. Good for you. Yes. Not everybody has to be completely plugged into all things cultural, but it just means you're not cool. That's all. Enjoy that.
You heard it. All right. You heard it here first. Pat Kreitlow called me not cool.
Pot, kettle, black. Chad, obviously college mascots are downright legendary. They're in commercials now and everything else. But what do you notice in terms of high schools? You know, how many of them have like a person that wears a suit? Is that prevalent? Is it rare? What's it like out there these days when you're at the football and basketball games?
It's funny. Tonight I'm doing a game between Newman Catholic and Marathon. They're actually two of the three teams that we cover on a regular basis, so I get to double dip, which is nice. And I was privy to a conversation that they're having a special tonight over at Newman where they're going to try to, and I know this is down Greg's alley, steal the like the sausage races over at American Family Field. Mm-hmm. And they have the Newman Cardinal, the Fighting Cardinal. They have a Fighting Cardinal outfit. And from time to time, they do put somebody in the Fighting Cardinal outfit, and they're going to race around the court against a couple of hot dogs. So they do have the actual Fighting Cardinal, and they will be there tonight at the game. I have seen at DC Everest, where I went to school, that once in a while somebody actually gets into an evergreen costume. Wausau West does have a warrior costume. So I have seen quite a few, actually.
Let's come back to the hot dogs for a minute. Are these hot dog costumes that people...
This is a first.
Okay. All right.
It's like when you go to New York and you don't see Iron Man, you see Steel Fighter of Justice.
Yes. This is not actually one of the racing
sausages.
I am looking
forward to seeing this tonight.
You should be. This sounds very intriguing.
I don't think you should be called the Fighting Cardinal unless they actually get into a fight. Like that's
well, against you, a hot you dog. Never know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it is officially the Fighting Cardinal. So they better go up against that hot dog with all the fierceness that a Fighting Cardinal would have.
The Fighting Cardinals. That's going to be fun. Oh man. How are things, you know, with all the sports you're covering? A good typical year? Anybody having especially breakthrough breakout seasons, either a team or a person?
Well, the teams that we're covering, the Marathon boys are the best. They've only lost one game, and I think they're a great contender to make the state tournament. Another area team is Mosinee. And I can smoothly go into my promo because tomorrow night on our big high school sports show, I will have the head boys basketball coach of Mosinee, who is 14-2, Matt Lindsay, and also the star player for the Marathon Red Raider boys, Grant Warren, at 7 o'clock. So tomorrow night, a couple of really successful people will be our guest on the big high school sports show. But last night was some nights you can just carry yourself right through the finish line. It's such an easy night. When the team that you're covering has a really bad start and the other squad, who is a great team, who's having a terrific season, who has a young lady who shoots NBA range 3-pointers, hits 7 of 8 in the first half, and you look up and it's 22-0.
Oh,
it's like, all right, time to fill.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
22-0. It's like, this is going to be a long one.
But again, you have that freedom to, you know, chat about other things rather than just hammering away at the dominance. And
right.
I think specifically for me, I was living in the Twin Cities when the Minnesota Timberwolves were a brand new franchise. And they were just hapless for those first few seasons. They almost could have gone 0-82, you know, on the season. But their play-by-play guy at the time was a young Kevin Harlan. And I and a lot of other people tuned in, not because we were basketball fans, but because while the Timberwolves were busy getting blown out, he's telling stories and he's doing basically interviews in-game, you know, with people because there's really not much to say about the game. And he was hilarious. I mean, he's still doing – I think he's doing football on CBS right now.
Yeah.
But – That bit of artistic license that you get when there's a blowout one way or the other, you know, it's an avenue for creativity that I'm sure you're taking full advantage of when it comes up.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that grew up in this state had the master, Bob Uecker, it doesn't matter what the score was, he was going to be able to weave a tale and keep you involved in the game right to the final out. So I was at the knees of the master as a youngster, and I've taken some of the lessons. I, in those situations, definitely be able to use a little bit of a different set of tools in terms of the broadcast.
And you know that there are listeners out there who really appreciate it. For every you know, say, parent that's out there that says, hey, get back to the game, talk about my kid, there's others out there going, this is great. It doesn't have to be just up and down the court. It can be weaving some stories in. So good on you. That's great. So so for more of Chad's stories, tune into his show on Bull Falls Radio, starting shortly here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Bull Falls Radio in the Wausau or on the Civic Media app. Glad you're sounding better, feeling good. Good to talk to you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat. You too.
All right. Greg's going to go YouTube jump around and learn a bit more about that.
Got my homework.
He's got his homework ready to go. And I get to thank the rest of you for being part of our day, part of our Tuesday here on Up North News Radio. Back again tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Have a great Tuesday.